This is the national radio broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
We praise God. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Lord of all the worlds. My greetings to you. Assalamu alaikum. Well, before I begin, I have to acknowledge special invited guests that we have. These are our Christian brother and sister, and they are both in a kind of ongoing dialogue with our leaders, with appointed persons to sit in dialogue with them. We formed a relationship with them that's beautiful, very beautiful. And we want you to now meet them, and I wish that they will greet the audience and say anything they would like to say to this audience. And I see the folklore members here, and they're so happy to see you. Marco, what are you doing sitting down there? You're going to have to greet the audience, we insist. Yes, come up, please. Yeah, it's a new time, a better time. And I have strong belief that that healing of this broken world has already started, and it's really getting to be really visible everywhere now. We are in the Motor City of Detroit, Michigan, where poor African Americans or blacks were living. In the Black Bottom, you from Detroit, raise your hand. How many here from Detroit, Michigan, or the area? Oh, good. Very good. Good to see you here. But really, you should have been here so early, and you should have filled the place up. And we should be asking you to, will some of you all get up and let some of these others sit down, the elders and whatever? Yes. Because what was started in this city, it attracted within 3 years, 25,000 to join the Nation of Islam. 25,000 within about 3 years. Poor African Americans, most of them deprived of culture and deprived of formal education, they joined Professor Farad, and for 2 years or more he worked here in this city, and he took his work and his new convert that he kept by his side, my father, the late leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Poole Muhammad, he took him with him. Yes, please, please. To what I was pronouncing it she, like she wolf or something. Chicago. Our mayor is the son of his father, a mayor who brought a great transformation to Chicago. Richard J. Daley, once I was listening to him on television talking about the great city, our great city of Chicago, and he said, you don't pronounce it Chicago, it's chi, like chick, you know, or like chicken, Chicago. And ever since then, I try to remember to pronounce the name correctly, Chicago. So Mr. Farad, the mystical teacher, who were very practical, although he was mystical, and took the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his new minister, who he kept right by his side, to Chicago. And they began building up the second temple. This was temple number one, and still temple number one. But we still have following from that time. They're not with me. They chose to stay with that, and that's their business. I don't impose anything on anybody. He went from this city and built the second temple that was named Temple Number Two. Temple Number Two. Somewhat after that, it wasn't too much time after that, they went to Milwaukee, and they built the third temple, Temple Number Three, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we have a very excellent scholar. He works with college students. He actually was over program for college students at the university, across the University of Wisconsin. Will you please stand? Yes. The Imam Ronald Shaheed. The Imam Ronald Shaheed, who's director of the Clara Muhammad School, and he's also Imam in Milwaukee. And he's also working directly with the Presbyterian Church representatives or officers that we have just introduced to you. He's working directly with them for my office, but also for the community, the general community. Yes, so Milwaukee was established in a little time, didn't take long. They had established three temples before Professor Farrar left the responsibility to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. language of this teacher was really like a puzzle. On the surface, educated person who has formal education, when they look at his language on the surface, oh, that's ridiculous. They would say, that's ridiculous, unbelievable. Where did this come from? Who had the nerve to even say these things? But if they have scriptural knowledge, Bible, knowledge of the Bible, scriptural knowledge, knowledge of the Quran, because he was speaking from both. He came from both. And mostly from ideas and concepts and concerns that we have in common, Christians and Muslims have in common. And he was leaving us with language that would help us down the road, help us get out of his created myth of the origin of the world, the origin of white people and black people, etc. So he had a myth that he created himself, mythology or a myth that he created himself, and he designed it so that as we become more educated, we were especially educated in scripture, we would see his direction in this puzzle, direction that we need to take for our own lives and come to be a Muslim community on a standard of excellence. The man was a wonderful man. He did a wonderful job, a masterful job of getting us to come where we are today. Professor Farrar, my father called him Allah in person, or Allah in the body, or in the flesh. And he put me out because I grew to not accept that, okay? And I was still the minister of one of the ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And people reported me for having different ideas about that. And he called me into question, and he excommunicated me. Now, we didn't use big fancy language like that. We say he got put out of the Nation of Islam. Yes, he put me out, and and I accepted it. And he asked me a question before he gave his final judgment on me. He said, how can you not accept our Savior? And you know that he found your father a poor man, a lost man, in the streets, in the time of depression, too ashamed to come home to your mother because I couldn't bring any money to help the family out. And he put me where I am now. Say, how can you, knowing that, reject our Savior? I say, Daddy, I don't reject your Savior. And boy, boy, I thought I was pretty smart, you know. But man, did that fire him up? Did that anger him? My Savior, he's your Savior. So he told me to go. I had to get out of there. And I was told as a child that my father would be in the city of Detroit with Professor Ferrand. And I keep saying professor because that's what he said. And we have on several documents this him referring to himself as professor. But I have to acknowledge also that there is plenty in his language that would cause any person who came from church background to believe also that he was a second coming of Jesus Christ, or at least a Christ type leader, you know, because he referred to himself plainly as the Son of Man. And I'll give you the exact words. He said, and no help came to them until the coming of the Son of Man in the person of W.D. Farad. That's his language. That's not my father's language. That's not my language. That's his language. That's what Mr. Farad said. So he did leave the idea with my father and those of the church who would understand that language. He left the idea that he came in the role of Christ Jesus. But if you look at that language, you would never come to that conclusion. I don't know. Maybe some of you would. But I'm going to give you now an expression that he himself made. He said, referring to the new community that he was building, or the new nation that he was building. He pictured it as a car, an automobile. And he called it, quote, an old touring car. An old touring car. And he said that it could hardly make it up the hill. It could hardly make it up the hill. Now, I'm going to just elaborate a bit on the car. If you look at the word car, C-A-R, and you think about the word carnal, which means flesh, the body, the flesh body, you see car is in carnal. The first part of the word carnal is C-A-R. C-A-R, car. Teachers, mystical teachers, they know how to put together language like that. And they don't expect the average person to really know what they're talking about. Please, no talking in the audience. We put people out for talking in the audience. You come here to hear me or hear this program, you have to listen to it. Or I'm going to tell security next time they catch you talking, they'll have you go out and have your fun. Have a beautiful day. Yes. So the average person cannot understand this language. But how come the average person, in fact, The following of in the early 30s, they were all not average. They were actually below average, because most of them didn't have formal education above about 5th or 6th grade elementary school. But they were attracted to him. He called his language magnetism, powerful magnetic force, magnetism. And why did he call it that? Because it appealed to those who had become very dissatisfied with their life as Americans. They didn't believe that they would ever be full citizens. Now this is not different than what we find in the Bible. It's not anything different from what we find in the Bible. Jesus Christ, who did he go after? Peace be upon him. He said, this is the Bible. He said, give me your tired and wearied people. Huh? Not those who are satisfied with the world that they're living in. Those that the world had beat up and put down. Those are the ones he appealed to. And he appealed to them and he attracted them, and they were happy to have him as their leader, because he lifted up their spirit, and more than that, he lifted up their souls. The white world had put them down, had crushed their spirit, and he said, you are the righteous, speaking to his following, you are the righteous, the best and the most powerful. You are the original man. Huh? That's what he said. And he said that the black man is superior to the white man. He said the black man created the white race by grafting them out of the black people. Well, you know, you tell people that. In fact, some of you right now, I want to caution you, don't drink strong drinks like I'm giving you right now. Please don't. You can't handle it. Your head will go tipsy, 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 and may fall off. Yes. So anyway, he had what attracted them. But he was only attracting us to something that would stand up temporarily. It wouldn't last forever. The more we became educated and informed of the realities of the world, the more we would question his language. And those who believed in his sincerity and appreciated what he was doing to lift us up, and he certainly lifted us up. He took us off of alcohol. He took us away from indecency. He took people who were in the Christian church and had been made good, had been made God-fearing in the Christian church, and had grew in decency as Christians. He took them and made them more decent, even more decent, even more committed to decency, and more committed to being sober. Huh? Yes, he was successful in doing that. So let's talk about the word car a little bit here. We are in the Motor City. Do you all know why they call this city the Motor City? Because of the great history of automobile manufacturing in this city. Still here, but it's a long history of automobile manufacturing for this city, Detroit. General Motors, Ford Motors, and a lot of our people came from the South, and our men got much better paying jobs because they joined Ford Motors. There were men in our family who came from the South, Georgia, who got good jobs here. Good paying jobs, especially in that time, working for Ford Motors. Motor City. This word motor, it has several meanings. You get a good dictionary, and you'll see it's got several meanings. One of the meanings, the meaning that we find in psychology, the study of psychology. And that meaning refers to habit-supported behavior inside of us. When you say motor reflex, You're not talking about what's happening consciously in the person. You're talking about what's happening without their conscious awareness of it. Motor reflexes. And these motor reflexes operate in our life like fish perform in water. So Mr. Farad, we identified African Americans as fish. And he said, go out and gather the fish and bring them in so they can be taught the religion of the Nation of Islam. That's what he said. Okay, fish. Now, he was again copying the role of Christ, peace be upon Christ, in the Bible, in the New Testament, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, he went and called fishermen from the water, and he told them, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. So he called them away from the water fishing, and he told them to come inland, and I will make you fishermen of men. So Mr. Farad was obviously using the same strategy, and he was having the same perception of people whose life is nothing but a life in faith. It's not in the waters of faith. Their life is a life in the waters of faith. They have no education in their religion. They are not educated to know the logic in their religion. As it is written, they know the religion only by faith. Only by faith, not by logic. So he calls them into the land, meaning that he's bringing them to a situation where they will not be fishing the water. They will not be depending only on motor reflexes, but they will be able to start using their rational curiosities, and he would be their leader to lead their rational curiosities into the light of understanding, where they will see the logic supporting their faith. For a car to be in a condition to perform its purpose, it needs a workable motor, after which it needs all the necessary attachments: battery, fuel line system, cooling system, crankshaft, exhaust system, carburetor, axles, attachments for steering it, and most important, it needs a starter or ignition. A car is a machine. It is designed to get a qualified operator where the operator wants to go. Car kept in good condition can take the operator where the operator wants to go, and take the operator less difficulty and less time. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the spiritual science or special psychology and myth and mythical language of Professor Farrar was designed to reach us in the depths of our souls, reach us in the depths of our spirituality, and began turning light on inside of us that would eventually reach the brain and register on the conscience or in the conscience. A car is a transport. Ideas are transports. Ideas limited to self-concerns only are small transports. Small ideas leave one's mind to go it alone. And many of us, too many of us, African Americans, have stopped following our religion. We have stopped following the church. We have stopped following our religious teachers. We have even stopped following the direction given to us by the best of our leaders, and the only remaining person that was leading all of us, and that was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
2008 Ramadan session will be held September the 19th to the 21st, featuring Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Theme, Quran Study Session, The Path to Global Conclusion. It will be held at the Coble Conference and Exhibition Center, 1 Washington Boulevard, Detroit, Michigan. For online registration, you can go to wdmevents.org, or you can consult the Muslim Journal newspaper. We hope to see you at the 2008 Ramadan session from September the 19th to the 21st, featuring Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Thank you.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call 708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.